Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
A strawberry alarm clock brings back. That's right. I'm not making that up. That's their name. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. I am the Small Business Advocate. Please check out my websites, smallbusinessadvocate.com and ageofthecustomer.com. That last one is the title, is the website for my new book, The Age of the Customer. Gary Moore is our guest. He's the author of Look Up America, also Faithful Finances 101. He is a financial advisor, especially in the area of ethical investing. Gary, give us the website, please.
Financialseminary.org.
All right.
We're so nonprofit.
Check that out. Gary, in the last segment, we were talking about the thing that created the collapse of 2008, which was over-leveraging excesses, I'll say, in what was called the shadow banking system. There was nothing wrong or illegal about the shadow banking system, but it was not as regulated, and it got out of hand. A lot of abuses, and it caused a huge problem for the economy, for the global economy. And Gary, the thing that I'm so upset about it for, the reason is small businesses are still paying for that. Even though we didn't benefit from it, we're still paying for that. Now comes high-frequency trading and also something called dark pools. Now, I want you to tell the audience what a dark pool is.
Okay. Dark pool is simply, when I started this business 30-some years ago, if you wanted to buy 100 shares of General Motors, it most likely went to the New York Stock Exchange. You see those guys standing around, and literally some guy would buy and sell it, and that's the way the system worked. And increasingly, as volume grew on the stock exchange, I remember when we first traded 40 million shares on the New York Stock Exchange, my office at Merrill Lynch, we all stood and cheered. And we didn't think that you'd ever trade 100 million shares. And today, of course, it's many times that. Big picture is, as all that increased, the major firms like Merrill Lynch and so on received the approval of the regulatory authorities to begin, in essence, holding big shares or big volumes of stocks and so on. And if you want to buy 100 shares of stock, you might just buy it from Merrill Lynch's pool of money, and that's called dark pool. And the reason it's called dark is that there wasn't the light of the New York Stock Exchange, an open outcry system, and so on. And, you know, that is regulated. And the problem with it is, and the criticism's always been, is Merrill Lynch might offer you 100 shares of IBM at $100 a share, and you might be able to go, if he looked around, and might see Morgan Stanley had it for $99. For example,
in their dark pool, yeah.
Right?
But over the counter, so to speak, or in the regular process, if you go through Fidelity, if you bought it through Fidelity, it would be more than that, probably, right?
Well, it could be, and that's the problem. You see, a lot of these little firms. There's so many ways of making money on Wall Street without telling you, Jim. The rule on Wall Street is if the cost that we disclose is probably insignificant compared to the cost we do not disclose. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in municipal bonds, people have bought municipal bonds from, there's no trading exchange for
right.
them, and they bought those for years. The system works pretty well, but it is expensive. And so what all of this supposedly does, remember the word efficiency. It makes it more efficient. It doesn't necessarily make it better.
You're saying dark pools make it more efficient, but you're talking, when you say efficient, you're talking about for a certain group of people, not for everybody.
Well, I'm talking about always.
Right, because
remember,
everybody doesn't have access to a dark pool.
The golden rule of Wall Street is he who has the gold makes the rules.
That's right.
In Wall Street has the gold, so we make the rules, and so the problem with dark pools, as they're called, is they've always been somewhat suspicious that maybe we are, maybe we aren't, which in the age of the customer, Jim, when you didn't know all of this stuff, when there was no Michael Lewis
right.
to tell you how Wall Street worked.
That was in the age of the seller.
Didn't care.
In the age of the seller. That's right.
Yeah, you didn't care. But as the age of the customer dawns,
right.
and is dawning, you're reading Michael Lewis's book, or at least
right.
news accounts of it, and saying, you know, this ain't right. And it's undermining confidence in the markets at a time when people are already quite skeptical.
Well,
and that's the shame of all of this, is just as the retail investor was coming back from the crash of 08 and 09, Wall Street shoots itself in the foot by doing some of this stuff. We call it picking up nickels in front of a steamroller.
Right.
You know, we're threatening to bring down the entire system and alienate mom and pop from
that's
we're killing
the goose
that laid the golden egg.
That's the point that I've been making now. You've been hearing me make this, Gary. You know I've been railing about this for a long time. And
yep.
that is the fact that Main Street doesn't benefit from all the run up of all the advantages that they have on Wall Street that I don't have access to. And Gary, I don't begrudge them of a nickel of that. If they make $1 billion and I'm struggling, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But if they make $1 billion and in the process collapse the economy where it causes me more harm, I got a problem with that, Gary. And that's what I didn't like about the reason I talked about the shadow banking in the last segment. We're talking about the dark pools now. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about high-frequency trading. These are dangerous practices that if it just hurt them, I wouldn't care. But it's hurting us out here on Main Street, Gary.
Jim, this very week, The Economist magazine has a special edition on the financial crises of the past. And what happened each time is the government increasingly steps up, meaning
yeah.
the taxpayers, to cover the excesses
yeah.
of the financial system, and The Economist is saying it's time to reverse that.
That's exactly right, folks. And that's the reason I've been complaining about all this quantitative easing. I've written about it. I've talked about it. I've reported on it. I've interviewed people about this. There's a disconnect, folks. I've been saying this for 7 years. There's a disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.